Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to episode number 25 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good sing too. Episode 25 weeks in, quarter of a century. So thank you very much to everyone who has listened and shared and liked and etc, etc. Last week we did Leaky Hole with the lovely blonde Nick Coffig. Very, very funny. But speaking of Leaky Hole, I think I might have had a little Leaky Hole doing the following interview. It is just so funny, I couldn't cut it down. It was, you know, I wanted to trim it a bit, but no, it's 30 something minutes and that's it. It's with Mario Rosenstock, one of the funniest men in Ireland. He is the best interpreter. Even Mourinho, Roy Keane, they all love his interpretations. So this is a scoop, because you could pay a lot of money to see this guy live, and here you have it for free. So forward it to your friends for a Halloween present or a Christmas present or whatever. And so here we are in the car anyway, at the side of the road, and Mario left Neil Francis minding his bike. He spotted a fella he knew, an ex-Irish rugby player, big tall man, very kind man. He said, "Oh, we'll be 10 minutes there, mind me bike." Sure, 30 minutes later, poor old Neil's banging on the window, wondering where we are. Okay, so yeah, enjoy. So I'm here with the very talented Mario Rosenstock, and when I met Mario Rosenstock first, I was doing a voiceover in Today FM, and he walked past and I nearly fell to the floor. I couldn't even say hi. I was like, Mario. And then I think the second time I met you was, I was in a crowd in Wexford in the Opera House. You filled out, the whole place was in stitches, and I was just staring going, how has that prick got 1,000 people here and they're all in stitches? And I was just going, I was just blown away.
But I was very complimentary to you as well, Norma, because when I met you in that Today FM, I used to love all your funny voiceovers, because you kind of put the funny in voiceovers. They kind of get you to do straight voiceovers, but they give you a kind of a quirky character. And I thought the Bridget and Eamon was excellent as well. And that gets a bit of slagging, but it has a lot of fans.
It has a lot of fans. Some of the episodes are hit and miss.
They are, but when they're hit, they've been really hit.
Yeah,
it's really good.
And just speaking about voiceovers, I did one the other day for Always Discreet Leaky Bladders. Your pee will turn to gel. It's out on an episode today, actually.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's You've done voiceovers.
Heal that hole. What?
You've done voiceovers.
Many voiceovers. I used to do a lot of voiceovers, and then, like, people out there mightn't understand, but the voiceover industry is a very quirky and funny industry. You're in 1 minute and you're out the next, and you don't know why you're out the next or why you're in. And the reason we're talking about that, listeners, is because voiceovers actually pay an awful lot of money relative to the amount of work you do. You go in and you go, Always Discreet turns your pee to gel. Literally. That'll be €1,500. Thank you for a round Ireland all stations package.
Oh yeah, that pays the food, the mortgage, the whole shebang. But you're multi talented. For anyone who's been living under a rock and doesn't know who Mario Rosenstock is, he is the best impersonator in Ireland, an actor, a radio presenter, fills out opera houses with his shows, and what can't you do?
Not a great cook. I have problems singing in my own voice. I sing in so many other people's voices that I have a problem finding my own voice singing.
I don't think anyone wants to hear you singing as Mario, though, because you do other
No, exactly. Well. Probably they don't, but no. I secretly want to hear me sing as Mario, and I'd love to find my own voice sometimes. It's a funny thing about somebody who does a lot of voices.
I couldn't listen to you sing as yourself, because you've such a mischievous head on you that I wouldn't take you seriously.
Yeah, I meet people like that all the time, and I meet them in very serious situations. Like, I might go in and I'd go, I might go into the doctor's surgery here in the village, and I'd go, listen, I'm here for a 3:30 appointment and I don't have that much time. And she goes, are you taking the piss? And I went, no, I'm serious. I don't have that much time. And I am actually in a bit of pain today. I think it's, I have this esophagitis, a little bit of esophagitis. Esophagitis, what? What are you, that's a funny one. Yeah. Look, it's esophagitis, right? And the more animated I become, the more, oh, you're fucking funny. I'm not meant to be funny now. So I think it shows you how people think that because you're funny, you are funny. Now, that's a funny one to understand. So, but it is helpful. You said I sold out the opera house. It's opera houses everywhere. And you do. And you know what that means? It means when you walk on stage, people are already laughing.
That's true.
And you haven't even told them a gag yet.
No, but does your wife find you that funny?
No, not that funny. She finds me funny. I used to do a whole range of personal characters. Woohoo! Who didn't?
What do you mean by personal characters?
Characters that were personal to me and her. I'd invent little characters.
Oh, do you mean in the bedroom?
Not exclusively in the bedroom.
Right.
Just characters to do with our lives.
Okay, because the only thing that makes my fellow laugh at me would be if I fart. But even that stopped during COVID.
So yeah.
Like during COVID, I just became this poor Claire.
When my wife farts, we all laugh because she's the one that, yeah, it's rare.
Does it and smell?
Yeah, because it does smell because she eats such bloody good food.
Yeah, she needs to stop that.
When you eat really, really good food.
It's been proven that the really good food.
Your farts smell.
Because they can't be digested. If you're eating like a dinosaur.
Yeah,
it has to be pureed down to a smoothie or something.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're eating loads of cabbage and turnips and carrots and all that sort of stuff, your farts will smell. And that's a good sign.
Yeah. I don't think so. Because if she's eating a load of seeds, right, and she's not chewing them right down, the pumpkins will rip the arse off her. Yeah. The sunflowers, you just can't chew them either. Yeah. The little tiny ones that you can't get your teeth around, they're popping out.
It's becoming glaringly apparent to me that she should be on this episode of Heal My Hole.
Will she come on someday? Actually?
She will come on someday, I'm sure. Yeah,
and we'll talk about seedy hole.
Well, nutrition.
Seedy hole.
Nutrition hole.
Seedy hole.
Yeah. Food hole.
Food hole, right. And okay, so she finds you funny when you take on those characters.
She does. I can get to her. I can get to her.
Is she funnier than you?
She has a rather sophisticated sense of humour.
Good.
She's well developed, I think, sense of humour. So whenever she laughs at something that I've done on stage, I kind of feel a special sense of of thing because she has a well developed sense of humour.
I have a sister who's the funniest. Like, she's the funniest in the family, Paula. And she said to me once, Norma, you're weird. And that can be funny. But the minute you try to be funny, it doesn't work. So you should never try to be funny. It's embarrassing.
And that's an interesting way because somebody's obviously then said to you, Norma, you're funny. Let's try and find a way to add to artificially try this and make funny.
Doesn't
work. This is a class. Yeah. But on stage, you're going to be funny and stuff.
No, well, I'll just say the lines. But even when I'm on stage doing my Heal Your Hole show, I'm just telling honest stories.
Yeah.
And if they happen to laugh, they happen to laugh.
Yeah. I think a lot of laughter comes out of honesty.
Yeah.
And even when I'm doing my impressions a lot on stage and doing pieces on stage, a lot of the laughter that people see is not just clownishness, but they're going, you know, that's true what he's doing there and what he's saying about your man.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of humour comes from the truth of an impression as well as the truth of anything that you're saying.
What are your top five favourite impressions?
It changes from year to year, right? So I think that for the last 2 years.
Sorry, see, I'm laughing already.
Last 2 years at Norma, I've always enjoyed doing Pascal Donahue. And Pascal Donahue is very interesting because obviously he's got a little bit of a thing going on with his voice. But beneath that voice is a hugely, hugely intelligent and sophisticated Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure. But at the same time, he does sound like that 7-year-old school child in school who's sitting on the teacher's knee and has got his 8x tables correct, thank you.
Okay.
And is looking for the little gobstopper or the little sweet from the teacher because he got it right.
Yeah.
And his little face goes up like this. And he's got that little self-satisfied smirk.
I wish you could see his face.
He's got that little self-satisfied smirk of somebody that knows exactly what they're doing at the time they're doing it, when they should be doing it, and to whom they should be doing
it. And you're spitting all over the equipment. Does he spit all over his mic as well?
Well, he's got a little bit of a lisp, but he's a good one that I've liked recently. I mean,
so obviously, there's a few old faithfuls now.
Yeah, those old men. I mean, like, when I first started doing Gift Grub, I mean, I based Michael D. Higgins on my grandmother. My grandmother was from Waterford.
Did she rare you, yeah?
She reared me.
Right.
My grandmother reared me. And she had a lovely way of talking. But also she had what was called cognitive dissonance. She could have two different thoughts in her head at the same time. So we had, I remember, for example, we had a dog called Max.
Yeah.
And it was a farm dog. And my grandfather used to call him Max. But my grandmother refused to call him Max. So she used to call him Twilight. Or sometimes Wistful. And so my grandmother and my grandfather would go out onto the steps at night to call in the dog, both at the same time. And my grandfather would go, "Here, Max, boy. Max, Max, here, boy. Here, boy." And she'd be there, "Wistful, Wistful, don't listen to him. Wistful, Wistful, Wistful. Max, Twilight.
Max, Twilight.
Twilight, Max." The poor dog must have been fucking psychiatrically, you know, dissolved by the whole thing, you know. So she was a person then that had this...
My mother used to throw boiling water at the dog if it came near the door. And my dad used to drown the kittens in a bag.
Oh, I used to drown puppies with my grandfather because we grew up on a farm.
You had to drown them, didn't you?
Yeah.
But it was grand. That's just what you did. I'm okay with death. I don't know about hanging people on for too long, even humans. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a time to die. I saw a dog around Sally Noggin the other day and it had two legs, just the two front legs, and the back two were on a wheelie simmer frame.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant, brilliant.
But, like, there's a time to die.
There is, but growing up on a farm, it's very dark. People think it's a lovely... But actually, you're surrounded by death.
Absolutely.
Growing up on a farm. I mean, my earliest memories are being brought to the abattoir with and watching my favourite cow, Val, being shot through the head.
Absolutely.
Her brain's blown out.
And the guy killing him was all cheery, smiley,
yeah,
covered
and,
in blood.
And it was just... And it was just, for my grandfather, it was just like the go to the abattoir day.
You were like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. And then another day I'd go out to watch my favourite dog at the time, Sandy, and she gave birth to 8 puppies. And I remember for 2 days then behind the tree I'd go out and I'd be looking at the puppies, the grey one, the grey one, the black one, the grey and white one, the black and white one, the grey and brown one. And then my grandfather would go, "Right, it's time for them now to be drowned. We'll go down to the stream." And you'd just have to say goodbye to them. And we'd go down to the stream and he'd hold them down in the bag and put the stone on the bag and we'd hold them down and watch the puppies being drowned.
Beautiful.
But anyway...
Death is funny, you see. I think
Of course it is.
My mother's coffin last year was... we took it into the good room for the wake or the removal and there was too many people in there so the floorboards gave way. There hadn't been 50 people down that end of the room for ages. So the lovely cream carpets, the Waterford crystal in the cabinet started sliding. We had to get everyone out of the room. Someone had to get bricks in under the floorboard and reinforce.
That sounds like it's something from Only Fools and Horses now nearly, yeah.
So the mother was sliding into the ground at the removal.
Oh, brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant?
So anyway, Michael D. Higgins was based on my grandmother.
Michael D. Higgins.
And I'm doing him. And of course, first time I ever did him, it was like 1996, and he was going, "Yes, I'm very interested in having Mel Gibson come over to the country to produce Braveheart." But then, 24 years later, I'm still doing him, and he's in the Áras an Uachtaráin.
Oh, he's a legend. Oh,
absolutely,
it's
brilliant.
Unbelievable.
And then...
He's bigger now than he was then, like,
he is,
obviously.
He is. The smaller he gets, the bigger he gets.
Exactly.
But then characters come along you'll never expect. Never expect things like I remember when the Jose Mourinho thing happened and those, and everybody started going, you know, this Jose Mourinho character is fantastic, and women started going, "I like football," for the first time.
Yeah,
turn on Chelsea there, will you?
Oh, listen, he's beautiful. He's just beautiful.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, he was anyway. He's getting a bit gnarly now, and then people, he'd open his mouth and he had this kind of expression in his face where, you know, everything was going to be okay, and he had that kind of glint in his eye, and he would look at the camera, and he would go, "I think it's going to be fantastic today, and why not?" And
my husband watches him every night on a documentary.
And all the men are drooling, and all the women are drooling, and everybody's drooling, and I tell them little stories and feed them little tidbits about what's happening in the dressing room, and it was just fantastic.
Sexy.
And it was just so sexy.
Yeah.
And so he was like a lounge singer, like Julio Iglesias. You know, playing football.
And actually, Roy Keane is my hall pass. So if I'm allowed to have an affair, I've picked Roy Keane, and himself has picked Natalie Portman, the one from, she was in Star Wars years ago. But I've much better chance, I say, of getting Roy than he's going to get Natalie.
It'll be really funny at the end of the day, is it? Roy Keane had an affair with Natalie Portman. Star Wars. I thought it was overrated, to be honest with you. I thought you were poor. I thought you were poor in Star Wars. I thought it was a bad performance. I thought you were lackluster. I thought you could have done more with Chewbacca and Han Solo. You know, I thought the little fella, the Yogi or whatever he's called, you know, and the fella that talks backwards. What's he talking about?
And if you fail to prepare to fail.
I mean, that's what you should do. Roy, you should do another episode of him called Talking Through Your Hole.
How's your Cork accent so good? Because it's not easy.
Well, there's so many different kind of Cork accents. Like, so like... Ron and O'Gara would have another kind of Cork accent.
Oh,
and I don't know, Norma, like where that would come from, but there would be... He does that thing with his...
He's 75 he does that children.
Thing. 75. I have 75 children and thanks, but... I don't know.
I know his wife. I used to go to pony camp with her.
So I don't know. I don't know what Cork accent I'm doing when I'm doing it. But obviously, you are from Cork, so.
Like, I'm an actor. I have one Cork accent.
And do you think I can actually do the good Cork?
You've already done Ronan and Ryan.
Well, there's another Cork accent as well. It's kind of Brendan O'Connor.
When Jesus Christ, that's amazing.
How bad were you on Salpidine, Norma? I know you said you take Salpidine. How bad did it get, Norma? Like, when you were doing, I really enjoyed you in what was it, Jennifer Zamperelli's there? I really enjoyed your performance. But when you said you did Salpidine, is that right?
I did. Took a load of it. Yeah.
When did it really get bad with the Salpidine?
I think around the time my communion. Yeah.
So I don't know what accent I'm doing there, but he's from Cork, obviously. So I just copy him.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You just have a maul of heads, so you just...
maul of heads.
How did you become such a chameleon?
I just started doing my parents and everything. But I was visual as well, so I do visual impressions of my parents.
But you moved around, didn't you? Did you have to become a chameleon for different places?
I did.
You moved around?
So I lived in Waterford. I spent a little time in Limerick. I then went to school in Cork.
Where in Cork?
I went to school in Ashton.
Ashton? That's a very cool school.
Ashton, and I was in boarding school there.
Ashton is like Newpark in Dublin.
It is.
It's very forward-thinking.
Yeah, it was one of the most. It was one of the earlier comprehensives.
And you went boarding there?
I was boarding in Rochelle House.
Where's that?
And the old Black Rock Road.
Never heard of it. Is it still there?
No, it was knocked down a couple of years ago.
After you left.
And it was...
Oh, with a bin truck. With a bin truck coming up the right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But, and then...
Helman
then
Lewis in the car.
Then moved to Dublin. So I suppose I have confidence with some areas.
Okay.
Like,
because Waterford and Limerick are difficult.
We're talking about Bayeux.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're going down to Waterford, right?
Right.
There's nobody able to do Waterford accent if they're not from Waterford. Like, it's fucking Egypt over there now. Yeah. He doesn't even pronounce the CK in the footing. He just goes fucking Egypt. He was stalling the head off your one in the back of the car. So Tony met Sandra there, right, outside the forum. And he fucking, I'd say now, he fucking went up to her, right? He nailed her up against the fucking wall. And he said, I'm fucking going to put a fucking bury you. I'm going to fucking bury you, Sandra. And he fucking stalling the head off her there outside the forum. And then he went, goes into Jeff's there on Cape Street there. And he goes, a bottle of Phoenix for me and a Ritz for the lack there, Joe. And he says, do you want your fucking go-by, do you? Because that's what fucking water for people. And your man is just standing there at the bar. And he goes, do you want your fucking go? Are you from De La Salle? And he fucking puts a bottle through his fucking head by. So that's kind of, whenever I do Waterford, that's kind of, it's quite aggressive.
It's perfect though, because it's halfway between Wexford and Cork. It's exactly halfway between Wexford and Cork, what you're doing.
Like, I've heard impressionists trying to do Waterford, and it doesn't sound anything like Waterford, because you kind of have to know, you kind of have to go, I was there, I heard these guys, I met them.
I just don't have an ear. Like, I can do certain accents if I take on an accent.
But you could do probably a really good British accent.
Oh, really good.
And you could probably nail an American character.
Oh, I've been to RADA, like.
I
am
exactly.
A wanker.
Exactly. So, So, were you at RADA?
RADA for 3 years, yeah.
Shite.
Yeah.
Ace.
No, it wasn't shite. It was great.
That's
but no, it was therapeutic as well, because I'd come from doing commerce in UCD, where I was just drinking
commerce.
Day and night. Commerce.
Yeah.
And was in the drama society there most of the time. And then got a place in RADA and did my 3 years there. It was bloody amazing. Like, I don't know if I learnt anything, but I had a great 3 years, like, living in the centre of London. I lived in Leicester Square.
It maybe gave you a big confidence though in your ability to perform.
It did. I came straight out and did a play for Enda Walsh, and we won the theatre festival.
What was that play?
Bedbound by Enda Walsh, and it did well. A few things did
Did he do Disco Pigs?
He did. That was before Bedbound. But the problem was, because I thought I had this RADA badge on me, I sat back. That's why I admire fuckers like you because you are businessmen. You see it as a business. We stupid graduates think we're these artists, and we're not even, we're just interpreters, who sit at home waiting for the phone to ring. And I wasted 5 to 10 years thinking, you know, and I did trickle in work, but I should have been proactive.
I saw it the way you saw it, though. So I didn't see it as a business. I saw it the way you saw it, but I would have died, I think, had I not done what I did. Because
I know people that are suicidal now. Artists that are suicidal.
I wouldn't have been able to do it. So I believe that you need to be fundamentally a certain type of personality to become an actor. Whether that's an actor who does one job a year in Andriacht.
Yeah.
Or whether you...
For no money.
Or for no money. No or money. Whether it's an actor who does Game of Thrones all year long and then does Stratford upon Avon and RSE and all that.
Yeah.
You need to be a certain personality. And I know what that personality is. You need to be a person who's able to go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
You need to be a person who's going, what happened that? Well, so you've been out of work for 2 months. Have I? Oh, it's fine. I'm having a great time. I'm doing yoga. I've started reading more. I'm really happy at home. My wife and myself are getting through it. She has a good job. I do the house stuff at home.
You should be depressed now. You had how many seats cancelled because of COVID?
22,000.
22,000 seats. Can we repeat that? 22,000 seats. And he jollies up there while ago on his bike like Mr. Bean, happy out.
Yeah.
Like, why are you not miserable?
The reason I'm not suicidal or unhappy is because, to be quite frank with you, I have a beautiful family who this has been a bonus for me this whole 6 months. But I'm also on the radio every day, Norma.
Yeah.
So it's I have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
And I'm busy. I'm very busy. And I'm Sunday on. I'm on the radio.
Okay.
Believe me, I'll be going through my head. But what I was trying
to
say...
How much prep is involved in your Sunday show, the Mario Roast?
Sometimes loads, sometimes very little.
Okay, depending on your
schedule. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So...
And how many hours in the week do you have to put in to the other radio works?
So, always I'm working. So I'm always thinking of sketch ideas. So it's 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day.
But as long as I have ideas written into my phone, I can sleep fully at night. I think in your notes to me or something, you said, do you ever sleep or something? And
do
I do.
Sleep?
Oh, sleep like a baby.
So you do. So it's high adrenaline all day, constantly thinking.
Satisfied.
And then you're like a kid after jellies at a party, you just crash.
Crash. But as long as I know that I've got loads of ideas in the tank.
Okay.
And then I go, that's all done, close the file.
Have you ever had an empty tank?
Oh yeah, I had at the beginning.
Okay.
Because I thought, I used to think going in and doing a... I used to produce all my own sketches as well. So I used to actually engineer them. So I used to do the writing, which used to take a long time. It used to take 4 hours to write a sketch, 5 hours. Then I'd do the production myself. So then I used to do 3 hours to do the production. And then I'd do the engineering and I used to do 3 hours. So I used to be doing 11, 12 hour, 13 hour days.
Fuck.
Just to do 4 minutes of radio. And then let's say you do one and it took off. Because when Gift Grub first came on the radio, it really was quite different. Like now it's 20 years old and people know it, but it really was rather different at the time.
Yeah.
People hadn't heard production kind of like it.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Like these CDs, how many CDs did you sell?
13 different CDs.
And a Christmas hit every year.
And half a million CDs.
Half a million CDs. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So, but it was, there was a lot of production in them and everything was about a story. And so like Bertie goes to space, but literally you literally hear Bertie taking off from Stephen's Green in a rocket with Liam Lawler.
So there's a lot of
production. And anyway, so I used to do it all myself and then I'd go in today and they went, Mario, the reaction to the one was today was amazing. That's hopping, that's everybody's jumping band. And then I'd be wrecked, like eyes fucking thing. Yeah. And then what's tomorrow? And I go, tomorrow.
So immediately disposable.
Yeah. So this was when I woke, a real slap in the face to me that I woke up and I realised, oh my God, it's disposable. I have to do it again the next day.
Yeah.
So that means I'm going to have to be armed, prepared. I'm going to have to build up a network of ideas within my mind. Which means I'm basically going to have to turn into a person who thinks about it all the time.
All the time.
But then when you go to bed, you go to sleep.
But you also have to work hard and be honest. You have to be on the pulse of what's happening in life.
But
you don't have time
people
to do
say,
it.
People often ask you, how do you come up with the ideas?
Yeah.
And the reason you come up with the ideas is because you fundamentally alter your brain 15 or 16, 17 years ago to see everything in life as a potential sketch.
Okay. So I saw my brother-in-law changing a nappy the other day.
Yeah.
And I said, do you mind if I take one of those nappies with me? And he thought, oh, she must be a pervert. She doesn't have a baby. I said, no, I have an idea for a sketch. So I've started putting out these weekly sketches for Heal Your Hole. And you're just constantly thinking.
Yeah, your brain turns into a muscle.
A muscle.
That gets more muscular on the sketch side.
Yeah.
So for example, I'm here. Let's say car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm.
Oh yeah, this car studio.
So I'm here in a car with Norma and she's near my house. So although I've come to do a podcast with Norma, other thoughts are going through my head just about the being in a car with Norma, meeting somebody, other people looking over.
Sure, who did we meet across the road?
We met Neil Francis across the road. And I'm sort of thinking, you know, just to, you sketch notions fly through your head. I'm still totally concentrating on what I'm saying to you.
And there's a bin truck passing. There's horses running
and
in front of us.
When we finish this, I might write down a note in my phone. Yeah. And it might lead to something, but it mightn't.
And you seem great. So I had a question for you of, is there any holes in your life I can heal? You know, have you...
Loads. There are loads.
Like, you haven't got COVIDly obese. You haven't got coronally depressed.
Nope. I've worked really well on the... I've tried to lose weight on the corona. I've lost about £9, £10.
I've probably taken your £9, but do you know what?
Don't look it.
Well, people have asked me, am I getting Botox or fillers? And it's the fat.
No, Norma.
No, it's actually...
Did you put on a little bit of weight? I did.
Or just down there in the elastic pants.
Yeah, where do you put it on?
With the arse first.
Arse.
But it's grand.
But loads of holes. I mean, you see, you know, I'm now 50 years of age, so...
Are you 50?
Yeah, so...
Okay, I'm not blowing steam up your hole, but, like, you look well.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. But I am 50, and I've noticed, and I wonder, do you know the way when you're a teenager, you don't know what's happening to you when you're changing? Well, maybe as a female it's different, but certainly as a...
clue.
As a boy.
I got my period and I realised from the tampon box that I had three holes. I pulled out the diagram of the information. And I was like, what is there going on? They had three holes. I was going...
You are a genius at holes. There is practically no circumstance that you cannot insert holes into the conversation. We need to find a product called Holes because they will sponsor this product. Sponsored by Holes. So anyway.
Yeah. So you've no IBS anyway and you've no snots and...
No. But what I mean is when you were changing when you were a teenager, you didn't really know what was going on. And similarly, when you're in your late 40s, I believe, or maybe in your early 50s, but when you're late 40s, I experienced a change as well. And that change was more of looking back. Okay. So in other words... Looking back, having put your head down for 20 years plus and just worked like a lunatic. It was so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Stage shows, sweat, costumes flying everywhere, radio scripts, Dempsey, the radio, Today FM, TV shows, late shows everywhere, screaming, roaring, shouting, laughing. And then you kind of reach this age where your kids are now 7 and 13 and you go, what am I doing? Where are the holes in my life? Because I feel them. And mainly the holes in my life are about my own relationship with my parents and how I had a very, very upsetting upbringing in terms of my parents fought all the time and they split up many times. And it's cost me difficult relationship with my mother and almost no relationship with my father. And those are my holes.
Are you adamant to make it work with Blauna then, even on a dark day?
So
I'll keep the roses out there for my kids.
Yeah. So this was it. I used to look through with my friends when I was 12 or 13. I'd go, where are you going now? And they go, I'm going back home. And I go, yeah, I'm kind of going back to my fucking madhouse of a home where everybody is, I'm only living with one of them and whatever. And they're going home behind that gate and they're going home to a lovely crackling fire and there's a perfect house behind that fire.
It's never perfect.
And it wasn't true. Mm. But I then kind of obviously developed a subconscious deep need to somewhere find that in my life. And that's what I've done. Okay. And so that's what I've done. I've tried to do everything I can to create the childhood I never had from my children. And I don't mean stuffing them with money or anything like that. No. I meant pure security.
Pure security,
where they feel safe.
Okay, something.
Because I didn't feel safe.
Okay. And the thing is, no matter how a parent parents, it will be wrong. So they will turn on you at some point and go, "You will have done something wrong." Nobody has ever gone, "My parents did it right."
Yeah.
So you will have done something wrong.
Well, I'll have to just be ready for that.
But you also, because I could pick holes in my mother. She was a nutter. But I wouldn't be the half a nutter I am only for her. And you wouldn't have the talent and the madness and the chameleon thing you have, only that your parents were left of center.
Maybe, yeah.
There is an upshot to it.
Mm. Maybe there's an upside to it, yeah.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, and I, on the other side, I wouldn't go around saying, poor lonely and woe is me. I received love from all sorts of areas of my family, my aunties and my grandparents. They loved me like they poured love into me. So I feel the love. I have love. I'm not a loveless person. Mm. And I am capable of giving love and receiving love. But I just wanted to make my children secure.
Secure. Mm. Okay, so you never knew what the next goal
was.
No,
I was always like, and it gave me it gave me a kind of an arrogance as well, which I was I'm confused where that arrogance came from.
Oh, I know. It's pretending things are okay.
Yeah.
I saw a kid at the school, and you know, I'm very fond of her family, but they're disorganized, right? So the kid, when she forgets something or she's dropped late, she turns that around and makes it cool. So she is the most, people are drawn to her because whatever fuck up is on her life, she'll make that the trend.
I want them to be normal, if you like.
They're not going. They came out of you. They're not going to be normal.
Well, as normal as
they're half of you. I mean, the blonde half will be fine, but
yeah, know. I want them to be well safe and.
Well, you've done that.
Yeah,
they're reared by the age of seven, apparently.
Oh,
and now you just need to mind them up to. Yeah.
Oh, they're brilliant! They're brilliant, and they're happy and
what
they're
are
secure.
They called?
So he's called Dash, and she's called Bellamy.
Would your granny be happy with Dash? No,
she would. I think. Now that's a good name.
It's quite dashing.
Well, yeah, she kind of liked that because it sounds like a bit different. She likes different stuff.
Dashing Twilight.
She used to like different stuff, and you know my brother, right? My brother's called Rene, so he was a year younger than me, right?
That's a girl's name, isn't it?
Renee. No, it's a boy's name and a girl's name. I think two E's in Renee.
Right. Okay.
One E in Renee.
Yeah.
So one E in male Renee. Yeah. But he's a year younger than me. And when he came into our lives when we were young, he was announced as, this is Renee. And my grandmother went, no, he's not. He's Sasha.
What?
She refused to use his real name. This is what, same thing with Trick with the dog. Sasha. Or you should have called him Nigel. Nigel was another name, she said.
Oh, that's a terrible name.
So you're going again, you're kind of confusing the child. Like, she liked Mario. And
are you most like your granny than anyone else?
Oh God, no, I'm not really like her at all.
Just loved her.
I just adored her. She was completely batshit crazy.
Okay.
And but adorable in her batshit crazy.
Was she your mum's mum?
Mum's mum, yeah. Mum's mum. And the other side of the family is German. Male side.
Okay.
German.
So with COVID, have you found extra time then?
Yeah,
to get
all of those stories. And I've
secure.
Seen other people saying this as well. So not only has it done that, it's reverted some, it's changed some habits. So for example, now we nearly always convene at the dinner table at 5.
Oh, wow.
Where that wasn't happening at all.
Oh God, I need to start doing that.
Yep. So now we nearly always do it. So it's a little family gathering.
Okay.
That's lovely. And
what if you're not hungry at 5?
I still sit down.
Just still sit down.
Yeah.
Have a slice of something, have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's about the ritual.
It is.
So the family that sits together stays together.
That's it. That's a good one.
Okay.
And we went on like...
Because I'd never go, you're not leaving the frickin' table till you finish your eggs.
Exactly.
Like, that's the reason.
Well, it can turn people off food as well.
Yeah.
But and then we just went on these endless loops around Cavendish Park for from March till... March till August.
10K cycles, walks,
all
hikes.
And that was just me and the two of them.
Yeah.
So I would take them out. So it was a really amazing bonding time between the dad and the two children.
And because there's a few years between them, you could take one and then take another in another area and whatever.
And it's continued. So now it's tennis. It's tennis with her. She's 7 and she's enjoying tennis. And I play tennis a lot. So she's enjoying hitting the ball. And
great.
So she's enjoying that. And he likes it as well. So he's been playing for years.
One of mine is on the gymnastics Irish squad.
Go on.
She got on in January,
really?
February. Yeah.
Really?
But it's fallen apart. Like, she's just turned 10. So she's on the Irish development squad or whatever. She got on really, really great achievement. And no, COVID.
There's nothing.
They're still training in gymnastics. She's doing 15 hours a week.
Yeah.
But, Jodie's. No, she doesn't care. She's like, it's grand. I'm on the Irish squad. I should do nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, just before you go, because of gift grub and you, I said I'd give you a gift.
Ooh.
And it's a bit of grub. I heard I heard through a birdie that you like. What's that?
Oh, do. I love Belgian chocolate cake.
And I also heard that you like, oh Jesus,
Belgian chocolate cake. I certainly do.
And I heard that you like a bit of this.
I do love cheese.
No, this is the wrong. They didn't have the right one, but I heard.
And red wine.
Well, I was looking for
Bordeaux.
Amargo or something.
No.
Is she right?
Bordeaux. So red wine. And these are basically my three favourite things.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Thank you, Norma.
I heard him tell a joke
what kind
once,
of cheese
right?
Is this?
And he said, it was something about someone getting the last laugh. And he said, yeah, what I'd love to do is go and eat a chocolate cake, my favourite red wine, have some camembert, then go up and weigh myself and get a fucking shotgun and shoot the weighing scales. Shoot the fecker out the door and see who got the last laugh. I thought that was brilliant. Everyone would love to shoot the weighing scales. On that note, thank you, Mario, so much for healing my hole.
Thank you so much for this. This is lovely.
The laughing is so therapeutic.
These will really be demolished.
Yeah, well, you...
Thank you so much.
I've no money for you, like, that's the problem.
Thank you.
No, that didn't disappoint. I have to say, I definitely had a trickle during that one. So next week we're doing Spiritual Hole with Josephine McCaffrey. She is an interfaith reverend. She does weddings, namings, funerals. She's also the founder of Laughter Lines. So she's going to be, I hope she's a funny fecker as well. But I need something spiritual next week because, I don't know, we're back into lockdown. I need a bit of hope. So if you enjoyed today's episode, share it with your friends. If you didn't enjoy it, I think there's something wrong with you. So share, like, subscribe, all the rest of it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.